Good evening, Regen. My name is Michael. My friends call me Zig. I have a new life in Christ. And I'm in recovery from pride, porn, people-pleasing, and this week, anxiety and self-centeredness. Right, I am excited to be continuing the series that we have been walking through entitled So Great a Salvation. Over the past few weeks, we have looked at different benefits or aspects of our salvation in Christ. You see, our salvation is so much more than simply being saved from our sin. And so we want to help everyone understand the different ways in which our salvation actually impacts all of our life, especially today. And so the topic tonight that we're going to be talking through is one that candidly is very close to my heart. It was probably the thing that God used to radically change my life when I came through Regen 10 years ago. I walked in addicted to pornography, and not just an addiction where I looked at it every so often. This was an ongoing, over a 12-year period to where I would try to find it and try to fight it and continually fell. And so when I walked in, I was at my lowest point in my life. It had brought in shambles into my life, broken relationships, a broken marriage, manipulation, lying, and no one trusted me. And this, the topic we're going to talk about tonight was the very thing that when I look back, I see God weaving throughout my understanding of who he was. And so tonight we're going to be talking about the topic of adoption in Christ. And so that may be new to you. And so I want to define what that means. So it'll be on the screen behind me, but a definition is God adopts his people as his children, so that they have a loving relationship with him, a forever family, and a guaranteed inheritance. So there's a lot there that we could talk about. But tonight, we're going to spend time really looking at that very first part, where it talks about that God adopts his people as his children, so that they have a loving relationship with him. And so we're going to be primarily in one specific text. And so if you have a Bible, you can flip over to Galatians 4. If not, it'll be on the screen. But there's going to be three things that I want us to see in this text. And I'll walk through each one and at the end, help you understand why it's important to your recovery today. And so the three things are, the first one is that in Christ, we have received adoption into the family of God. Number two, God has become our loving Father. And number three, as sons and daughters, we are heirs of the Father. And so we're going to be in Galatians 4, chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. And so I'll read it, and then we will begin to walk through each one of those points. And so the text says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. So the first thing we need to see here is really the how of adoption. And it's that in Christ, we receive adoption into the family of God. And that's really verse 4 and 5. That when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, Jesus Christ, that ultimately that we would be adopted into his family. You see, the gospel that we talk about so much here, what it lays out in the scriptures for us is that we were enemies of God, that we lived in rebellion against him, because of our sin, that we had turned away from him and we deserved death for our sin. But yet, while we were in rebellion, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, Christ came and lived a perfect, sinless life. And so he did not deserve death, yet he died a death on the cross for your sins and for mine. And then he was buried. And after 3 days, he rose again, showing that he had paid the full payment for our sins and that he had conquered sin, death, and Satan. And so we can stand here today excited for the life that he offers us because he has shown that he is reigning over all. And so it is only in Christ are we able to receive adoption. And so the very first thing we have to address is, have you placed your faith in Christ? Have you at any point turned to him, realizing that you are a sinner in need of a savior and placed your faith in him? If you haven't tonight, I hope you would consider it, that the Spirit would be at work in you, convicting you, that you cannot work your way back to God, but that you need a savior, and that savior is Christ. You see, for those who have placed their faith in Christ alone, we are saved, and it is only by God's grace that we are adopted into his family. I love what John 1:12 says. It says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is the very thing that Dave talked about several weeks ago when we talked about what is regeneration. And so that is the how when we talk about adoption. But now we need to talk about the why. And it's really pretty straightforward. It's that God has become our loving father. You see, last week Chuck did an excellent job talking about what we would call justification. And he gave us this really cool picture. He actually walked up here wearing a robe and came up with a gavel. And he was trying to show us that in our sin that we stand before God condemned, but that because of what Christ did for us, that we have been given the righteousness of Christ, the right standing of Christ, and that he has taken our sin. That when we stand before God as judge and he goes to pronounce a decision, he declares us not guilty. That is only by his grace. And it's a great picture of the mercy of God that we find in Christ. But I want to stretch that illustration a little bit further. Imagine if that judge stepped off of his bench and he walked down front. And he stood and looked at you face to face and said, not only have I declared you not guilty, but I love you. And now you belong to me. You are my son. You are my daughter. All that I have is yours. I am here to provide for you. Come live with me. You see, when we sit there and look at the judge, we see mercy. But when we understand that we now have a heavenly father, a loving father, we see mercy and love collide. And it's a beautiful picture. And that's what verses 6 is really showing us. And because you are a son or a daughter, God has sent his spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The Father has sent the Spirit to reside within us. You can't get any more close than that, that he actually lives with us. You see, this allows us to emphasize the mercy and the love of God, that God loves you. If you've placed your faith in Christ, God does not look at you with a disposition of frustration because you continue to turn to your sin. He doesn't look at you angry. He doesn't look at you disappointed. He looks at you in love. Your Father loves you. For me, walking in to Regen 10 years ago, that was the very thing I struggled with. I knew that God had saved me from my sins, but I didn't think he liked me. I didn't think that he actually was excited for me. I didn't think he delighted in me. What I missed was that I didn't understand that God loved me right where I was. You see, in verse 6, it uses the language of Abba, Father. That's kind of foreign to us, but basically it's a really personal and very like familial way to express the connection you have with your Father. It is what Jesus actually cries out to the Lord himself. So the love that God has for the Son, we get to experience as well. And so in 1 John 3, it says, what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are beloved. We are God's children now. Now I realize that there are a lot of different experiences in this room when it comes to fathers. Some people grew up with incredible fathers who were present and loving and godly, and others in the room that wasn't your story. Maybe you didn't even know your father. The thing I want you to know is that when we talk about God as a loving father, we are talking about the perfect father that is good, that is present, that provides for you, that protects you, that encourages you, that comforts you, that disciplines you, all out of his love for you. If you have placed your faith in Christ, you have access to this Father. He loves you. Which really leads us into the last point. And it really answers the question of, so what does this actually mean for us? Okay, Zig, you're talking about God's love a lot. How does that help me where I am? I'm so glad you asked. It's because as sons and daughters, we are heirs of the Father. And so at the end of this passage, in verse 7, it says, so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. What the author Paul is trying to teach here is that we so often relate to God as if we are his slave. That was my story. I walked in thinking that I had to clean myself up, that I had to just do the things that God called me to do, that I had to stop looking at porn, that I had to stop hiding behind different ways I was manipulating people's perceptions of me, that I had to do all of this. I was living as a slave to God, as if he was just a taskmaster telling me what to do. But what Paul wants us to see is that we are not slaves if we are in the family of God. We are sons and daughters. That's a completely different access to God. Sons have the opportunity to run to their father. Daughters have the opportunity to come to their father when they are in need. It's actually expected of them, and their father delights in it. And so we shouldn't live as if we are slaves of God. We should live that as if we are sons and daughters of God. You see, that changes everything for us because it lets us actually experience the truth of Hebrews 4:16 that says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. My guess is that you're walking in here tonight feeling some type of burden or stuck, or you're just tired of not being able to find freedom. I want you to know that you have a loving Father that desires that you would draw near to him, that you would come to him in your time of need so that you might find mercy and help. You see, I spent so many years, over a decade, trying to work my way out of my addiction to pornography. And the very thing that I had to come to face is that I loved pornography. I absolutely loved it. It was the thing I ran to when I felt like I was out of control. It was the thing that brought me comfort. But what I had to come to realize is that love was one that led to death. And God offers us a love that leads to life. That we can actually turn to him. And as we do, as we come to him in mercy and grace, he actually grows our love for him and begins to push out the love that we have for other things. If you want to find freedom, you don't simply find freedom from stopping whatever you're addicted to. You find freedom from replacing it. And God wants to offer us a love that can replace whatever we struggle with. So we're going to talk more about that in the coming weeks. But I want you to know that God loves you. We actually sang about it tonight. We said that you run to the Father as we worship. And so I want to encourage you that in the midst of wherever you are, to run to the Father. I want to end with a passage talking about God's love. So in Romans 8:35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so tonight, I don't know where you are in the steps, but I want you to know that God loves you. When you're sitting in step four doing inventory, remember, God loves you. You are his child. You are a son or daughter of God. He does not look at you and define you by your sin. He looks at you as a child. If you're sitting in step six, repent. We turn away from sin and we move toward God. We move toward his love. Maybe you're in step 11, intimacy, where we talk about deepening your understanding of God's love. Or maybe you're about to commence and you're in step 12, regenerate, where we talk about that you are to go share God's love. Regen, I want you to know that the very thing that you are searching for is the love of God. And he has made a way for you to experience it in Christ. We have been adopted into the family of God that we may know the love of God. And so tonight, you're going to get the opportunity to hear from a good friend named Joe on how the love of God has transformed his life. Please welcome Joe.